If you think that a kiss is all on the lips, come on, you got it all wrong, man. And if you think that a dance was all in the hips, oh well, then do the trip. If you think holding hands is all in the fingers, grab hold of the soul where the memory lingers. Make sure to never do it with a singer, cause I'll tell everyone in the world what he was thinking about the girl.
We are the Nonprofits. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host is Dennis Lube.
Howdy.
Our engineer, Matt Dillonti.
Hi.
And our producer, Russell, you're late.
Yeah. I'm late, yeah.
We are live February 25, 2006, broadcasting from Dillahunty International Studios. Today's opening music was by the White Stripes, and I've forgotten the name already.
The Denial Twist.
The Denial Twist by the White Stripes. The Atheist Community of Austin is a non-profit educational organization promoting positive atheism, etc. I want to jump right into something. Part of the reason I'm late is because I was late. Everybody.
You were held up by Christians?
Russell was just away from the microphone. I was actually late. Last night I found out where I could watch at least the first episode of Richard Dawkins' show that he did in Britain called The Root of All Evil. I saw all of the first episode.
How was it?
It's cool. The place where I found it is www.youtube.com. That's youtube.com. If you search for Dawkins Root Evil, you will find the links. The first episode is broken up into three parts, labeled 1/1, 1/2, and 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really slow site, which is why it took me till 2:00 in the morning to download and watch the three parts of the first one-hour episode.
Right.
The first episode is kind of an overview of the... Oh, in case anybody didn't know what this is all about, The Root of All Evil is a TV series. Do you know how many episodes it is?
No.
Anybody
idea.
Know? I know there's at least two. A TV series Richard Dawkins did in Britain, critiquing religion and saying basically it's bad. And in the first episode, it's pretty much an overview of the differences between a scientific outlook and a religious outlook, and a number of examples of the problems coming out of religion. For example, he interviews Ted Haggard from this, I forget the name of his church, but it's some giant, ultra, super, mega church in Colorado Springs. This guy claims to be like a personal confidant of President Bush, and Ted Haggard on the show accuses Richard Dawkins of arrogance for, for acting like everything mankind has actually learned up to this point is worth something.
This was the one with the megachurch, you said?
Yes.
That's the clip that I saw, too. And, God, that guy's scary looking.
Isn't he? One of the kids on the hall did a character where he, like...
has giant... teeth
sticking out. His top lip was sort of retracted, baring his upper teeth, and they talk like that, blah, blah, blah. Except that Ted Haggard looks like that all the time.
Yes, he does.
There was also a segment where he goes to, Dawkins goes to Jerusalem and is reporting on all the craziness surrounding the Dome of the Rock and the contested religious holy sites there. And then he hears about this guy who's an ex-Jew turned Muslim, and he thinks, well, you know, maybe I'll get a balanced view from inside this conflict. No. when he goes to actually interview the guy, he's an extreme conservative fundamentalist Muslim who, like, hates Jews, hates atheists, says crazy shit about, you know, how dare people in Britain allow their women to go around dressed like they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's religion. So, that's your brain on religion.
That's the first episode. I mean...
Cool.
Practically all documentaries strike me as not enough.
I know.
Right? Because there's so much time spent showing you video footage of things that there's not... I usually find when I watch a documentary that not enough time is actually spent discussing the important
issues.
There's
a lot of establishing shots, basically. If you were reading a book, he might tell you what a megachurch is, but here he's going to...
No, I mean stuff like he just says, Dawkins just says, there's no good evidence, there's no good reason to believe in a god.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a fine thing to say. I agree with the statement. But there's reasons why that statement is true, and he doesn't mention them.
Oh.
And, you know, it's stuff like that. So, it's, of course, astonishing that such a documentary was created and broadcast at all, ever, anywhere on the planet.
Yeah, I hear the show's more about giving the religionists enough rope to hang themselves. It seems to be. Is that the impression you got?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
It's actually the second really good show that's come off the BBC with regard to atheism. I have a series on DVD called The Atheist Tapes, where there's a bunch of collection of interviews with prominent atheists and Daniel Dennett and Carl McGinn and stuff. Yeah, see if I can dig that up. I thought most of you guys had watched it. But
No, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, we watched part of it at a game night one time.
Why? Well, not one I was at. Okay. Just a reminder, if you're listening to our show, you can participate in the show live by logging into the chat room while we are broadcasting, which is every other Saturday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time. Go to www.wickedwire.com, that's WIKKEDwire.com, /JavaChatHTML to open a Java chat applet, type a screen name, and enter a number sign nonprofits as the channel. You know, I repeat this stuff every time we have a show. Is this documented on our website?
Yes, it is.
Why don't I just give the website?
Nonprofitsradio.com.
Nonprofitsradio.com has all of these instructions and actual links, so you don't have to keep rewinding the audio and listening to me say that over and over again.
W-I-K-K?
What? It's www.nonprofitsradio.com.
The only website you'll ever need for us. As long as you remember that is PROPHET.
That's correct. Profit. Nonprofits.com. Now, I sent you an email this morning. Did you happen to get my email this morning?
No, I didn't.
Something will come up later, and we'll talk about that more later.
Okay.
On the Center for Inquiry events calendar, on March 4th, the CFI community of Austin... The CFI community of Indiana, I don't know where Austin came from, will host the first annual Darwin Day Conference at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. Of course, Darwin Day's already come and gone.
Right.
February 12th. But they're having another one on March 4th.
Sure, why not?
If you're in Indianapolis. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring presentations and panel discussions with speakers from the Center for Inquiry, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the American Civil Liberties Union, the Indiana Department of Education, the Indiana General Assembly, and more. Graduate credits will be available through IUPUI and CRUs and will be available for educators. Admission is free for students and faculty. The website is www.centerforinquiry.net/indy/IUPUI. _program.html. On March 7th, the Center for Inquiry on Campus is sponsoring several debates on campuses across the country. on the evening of Tuesday, March 7th, the philosophers Austin Dacey, executive director of CFI Metro New York, and Paul Nelson, fellow of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, will meet at the University of Illinois Chicago to debate the question of intelligent design. For information, email tdonnelly, two N's, two L's, at centerforinquiry.net. May 28 to June 4th, skeptics and secular humanists will be joining the Center for Inquiry for an exclusive cruise experience to Alaska. We've covered this a lot.
Yeah.
It's expensive. At least the last one was. They didn't really announce rates on this one.
I've
but
actually been on an
all
Alaska
the,
cruise,
but
not,
with
a bunch of,
not with CFI.
Not with CFI.
There's a bunch of luminaries from CFI. For information or to make reservations, call CFI-Florida at 800-398-7571. Email cruise at cfiflorida.org or visit www.cfitravel.org.
How much benefit do you really get out of being on a ship with those guys? I mean, do they lecture? Is the point that you go to their cabins and try
I
to
understand
hang out with them?
That Paul Kirsch gives an astonishing back rub. I don't know this from personal experience. I don't know. I think you get the same benefit that you get here in Austin if you attend a social function of the atheist community of Austin, except it's much more expensive and much, much swankier.
And it makes for a great captive audience because, you can't leave.
Well, that would be a benefit to them. If they're doing any talking.
If you know of any events or groups or websites that you think deserve mention on our show, please let us know by emailing nonprofits@atheist-community.org. Okay. And now some actual news. Who wants to? Who's all hot to do news first?
I'll do some news.
Do some news.
Okay. You know how a lot of fast food companies are actually run by right-wing religious
wackos? I didn't know a lot were. I knew that Chick-fil-A was.
Several.
And Pizza Hut.
And Domino's.
And Domino's.
Oh, it's Domino's. Is it not Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut is also owned by religious nuts.
I can't keep track anymore.
Like I said, there's a lot. But there's something particularly creepy about Tom Monaghan, the devout Catholic who founded Domino's Pizza and is now bankrolling most of the $400 million cost of a project called Ave Maria. The 5,000...
That sounds pretty.
Ground was officially broken last week, and the plan is to build 11,000 homes, likely drawing families who already hold the church at the center of their lives. They're going to make sort of a giant cathedral city.
It's a cathedral city? Is this going to be like a cathedral with apartments in it, or what?
Soon a massive cathedral will rise from this barren spot, reaching 100 feet in the air behind a 65-foot crucifix. The oratory will anchor Ave Maria, a whole new town and Roman Catholic University, 30 miles east of Naples. Ave Maria is the culmination of a lifetime devoted to spreading Monaghan's own strict interpretation of Catholicism. Though he says non-believers are welcome, Monaghan clearly wants the community to embody his conservative values. He controls all the commercial real estate in town, along with his developing partner, Baron Collier Koss, and is asking pharmacies not to carry contraceptives. If forced to choose between two otherwise comparable drugstores, Baron Collier will favor the one that has honored that request, says its president and CEO, Paul Marinelli. Discussing his life as a millionaire Catholic who puts his money where his faith is, Monaghan says, "I believe all of history is just one big battle between good and evil. I don't want to be on the sidelines." Now, this is in Florida, and so the town is clearly imposing
Naples,
religious.
Florida.
Yeah, Naples,
you just said
Florida.
Naples.
Sorry.
No, this
is happening
in
way away in Italy somewhere.
Nope,
who cares?
This is happening in Florida.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have our own mini Vatican.
Only,
I can't help it, though.
Only with this pizza guy in it instead of the Pope.
Yeah, and he talked about putting up that 65-foot crucifix, and every time somebody talks about, you know, a huge crucifix and whatever, I'm always reminded of Bill Hicks' comment that, you know, if Jesus ever does come back, do you think he ever wants to see another fucking crucifix?
Yeah.
It would be like, man, honoring John F. Kennedy, I think he says, with a gun
right
around your neck. The ACLU is worried about how he's playing the game.
Oh,
surprise.
Yeah.
It is completely naive to think that this first attempt to restrict access to contraception will be their last, says Executive Director Howard Simon, armed with a 1946 Supreme Court decision that ownership of a town does not always mean absolute dominion.
Yes, Simon wants to be a despot.
Simon will be watching Ave Maria for any signs of Monaghan's request becoming a demand. Planned Parenthood is similarly alarmed. So far, Naples Community Hospital, which plans to open a clinic in Ave Maria Town, says it will not prescribe any birth control to students. Will others be able to get the pill? For the general public, the answer is probably yes, but not definitely yes, says hospital point man Edgardo Tenrero. The Florida Attorney General's office says the issue of limiting access will likely have to be worked out in court. Baron Collier and Monaghan say they're following Florida law. Here's what I wonder, though. I mean, there have been giant crucifixes before, and this is just one example.
And there's
of
been
all
giant
the,
artificial
of all the
church
things.
Slash town communities
mm-hmm.
put up in the past. Jim and Tammy Baker's Freedom Land, I believe, was
right. Well, there's
involved,
been
right?
giant crucifixes
yeah.
put
oh,
up
no,
on
Heritage
pub-
USA.
Put up
Heritage
put
USA.
Up on public land before.
Freedom
like,
Land is a movie that's in theaters right,
right
now.
Right.
Heritage USA.
Like there was one in San Diego.
Yes,
and it was successfully fought and taken down.
That was on public land.
Right.
Is this going to be on public land?
I guess technically the whole thing is private land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which means by moving into his place, you're agreeing to accepting him
good.
As your landlord
yep.
and
your landlord and savior.
You know what they say about yeah. a man with a huge gun. Right.
But I mean,
something like that.
Can you do that anyway? I mean, landlords have to obey certain non-discrimination laws, right? So they're not completely prevented. I mean, they're not completely given total leeway to tell their tenants to do whatever the landlord wants.
Yeah, but you know, it seems that all the power in the United States now rests in neighborhood associations.
Yeah,
well, it sounds like
it's
to
like
me
they're
like from
making a little First Amendment free zone.
Yeah,
but,
yeah
well, they
basically.
Did that in. In Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Remember that story?
Well, it's...
Town Square with the... Where the Mormon Church can restrict free speech.
Hmm.
We did this
story. Yeah, right.
And as far as I know, they got away with it.
Hmm.
Maybe one of our listeners can update us on that. That's the last I heard.
So wow. Is this the future of America? Is we're all going to get partitioned
little
into
camps.
Little individually owned,
you know,
super
well,
rich
it's the ultimate, territory? It's the ultimate expression of partisan.
As early as 5 years ago, I was reading science fiction stories that had exactly that premise.
Uh-huh.
Was it Neal Stephenson writes near future science fiction and depicted an America that was largely divided up into gated communities,
mm-hmm.
Divided along really extreme religious and political lines.
Hmm.
I think that's the
so one. The way to get around the First Amendment is to basically turn everything into private land until there's basically no.
Well, I don't know. In your
to.
In your story, there is there,
privatized
there
the
are,
United States.
Okay, guys, stop interrupting me.
Sorry.
In the story that you read, there yeah. are several vague references to laws that are getting challenged by this effort and things that have to be worked out in court.
Right.
But we don't know exactly what those things are. We don't know exactly where the line is, right?
That's true.
But presumably lawyers do. So, we'll see.
Presumably, but you know how the Supreme Court has been shifting in the last few months,
yeah.
you might have noticed.
Yeah.
which...
Well, that's if this goes to the Supreme Court. I don't know what the status is of the Florida courts.
Yeah, but ultimately it only takes one case finally reaching the Supreme Courts for them to set a precedent for the entire country. And if they decide that this is a great idea, then it's going to open the floodgates for a lot of other people to own their own cities and make all the rules within their own cities.
Didn't the Hare Krishnas do this years ago? They've done that kind of shit.
They have compounds, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
No. There's like towns owned by, yeah.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, creepy. What do you got, Dennis?
Oh, well, got something kind of related to that. You know, little, religious cults, asking for special privileges and stuff like that, and getting them.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C., in a unanimous decision, February 21st, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the right of a small religious sect to use a federally prohibited tea in its religious rituals, in what was one of the first to be written by new Chief Justice John Roberts.
Tea as in beverage?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Not like the
all the other justices joined in the opinion. Gonzalez versus Centro Espirita Beneficia Uneo du Vegetal, except the court's newest member, Associate Justice Samuel Alito Jr., who did not take part in consideration of the case because he was not on the court when the case was heard. The Brazilian-based church, which has about 130 members in New Mexico, California, and Colorado, had received support in the case from groups that included the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the American Civil Liberties Union because of its potential implications for government decision-making about what constitutes a religious ritual. The case involved the sex use of a tea containing the hallucinogenic drug diethyltryptamine, known as DMT, which is prohibited under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. After U.S. Customs agents seized a shipment of the tea in 1999, lower federal courts ruled in favor of the church, saying that the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act supported the right of its members to use the tea for religious reasons.
And the ACLU is involved in this? On what side?
They were on the side of the church.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, this is established precedent. This is the way things work in our country,
right,
and has for quite some time, that you call something religious, and suddenly, if it's otherwise against the law, you can do it, because it's religious. And I remain of the opinion that this is wildly irresponsible and unwise.
Mm-hmm.
But...
although, not to fall too deeply into the slippery slope fallacy, I don't really expect that if some religious cult said that ritual sacrifice was part of their religion, you don't really think that that would become acceptable.
I think we don't know
where the line is.
Right.
We
don't know how slippery the slope is because we haven't reached that point yet.
But it's just a quantitative difference, not a qualitative difference.
Exactly.
Well, I think one of the things that they've tried to distinguish is as long as it's an individual choice and they're not affecting others, then it would be allowed.
But why on earth if it's an individual choice and not affecting others, does religion even enter into it?
Yeah.
Well, illegal anyway?
Things that are... If that's the justification... We can let churches go ahead and do things that are individual choice if they are against the law, and we don't let your average man on the street do it. What does the fact that there's a religion involved have to do with anything?
If it's
bad for an individual to do it to the point where we made a law against it, then it should be equally bad for the church. There's no reason why the involvement of religion should make any fucking difference.
It's got to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you can't make little exceptions like that.
In actual practice, there's always little exceptions like that. They're always, counterproductive as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
but I wouldn't consider it such a serious problem. They're just like, you know, there's some little town somewhere where you can't put your shoes on Fridays, right? That kind of crap that happens. Weird little out of place rules. So eventually you could track those down and fix them. But this is a, there's some kind of basic assumption at play here that I don't see spelled out anywhere in the law, and I don't know what the hell it is. I mean, other than that, it consistently lets religious people get away with stuff that is denied to the average man on the street.
I think the law is pretty clear. It's the First Amendment, that they have a right to practice their religion according to the First Amendment.
But what? How does that protect churches and not the average man on the street?
Because it's about religion. If you, the First Amendment allows them to practice their religion the way that they choose, or the way that their religion dictates.
Yeah.
Okay? And if their religion has them, you know, using a drug as part of a ritual, which is otherwise outlawed, that's why we had this case to say, yeah, okay, that one's cool, and they're considered on a case-by-case basis. Now, I personally think that if they're going to say okay to the drug for the churches, they should probably just say okay for everybody. If you want to sit around and drink this tea and
right,
and
I mean, if there's, fine. So it's an interpretation of the First Amendment. But then there's all kinds of other things they might do that seem like personal choice.
But those are all covered by precedent. I mean, this is something that this issue with the First Amendment and how you can exercise your religious rights has been tried in case over case, and they're gradually defining what you can and can't do.
What is the standard of what you can and can't do? It's not legal for churches to have a human sacrifice?
Because that involves the rights of another human being, for one thing.
Plus, you know, you're not restricting free speech. Well, wait a minute, but this is not a free speech issue.
Right.
This is a behavioral issue, right? You're not picking on somebody or on any religious practice. If you say, this kind of activity X, is just against the law, you are not targeting religions. If incidentally those religions have a problem now because the law that's there to affect everyone gets in the way of them doing the thing that they want to do,
right,
that's unfortunate. It should never have been interpreted as, oh, that's some kind of unfair impediment against religion, and so we make an exception for them. It's
that's
ridiculous.
That's kind of a tricky standard to set, too, because, I mean, you know, there have been examples in American history where malicious people tried to harm specific groups through some sort of backdoor law, like you know, the poll tax, for instance. They were trying to prevent blacks from voting, even though you couldn't technically prevent blacks from voting, and they did it by targeting people who were likely to be black.
And that's why in court trials, the issue of motive is often relevant, just like it was in Dover, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Where they established the motive that what they were trying to do in this school was for religious purposes.
Well, maybe you answered your own question then, because the motive in this case is obviously for religious practice as opposed to
recreational. No. I'm talking about Russell's saying, Russell bringing up a valid point, which is that, you know, things like literacy tests for voting privileges were put in place to try to exclude certain segments of the population from being able to participate, right? So it's the law where that's in question here. Were the laws against the use of this drug erected specifically to try to block the behavior of these churches?
It's irrelevant.
How is it irrelevant?
The standard is that you have a First Amendment right to practice your religion, and that government laws cannot be extraordinarily intrusive or prohibitive of your rights to do it. So if this is a fundamental thing, this drug use, whatever, if it's a fundamental aspect of their religious observance, then to outlaw it the court has determined.
Fine. So the cult of Quetzalcoatl wants to kill human beings and rip out their still beating hearts.
Well, I think now you're making a slippery slope argument.
But
how's it different?
But the question is, where is the dividing line? If you can do stuff that's illegal because your religion says you need to.
I think the standard has to be. The only rational standard is the government can make laws to, say, control substances as long as they are applied equally to everyone, as long as they don't do it expressly for the purpose of getting in the way of some religion, and if that motive is uncovered, then they shouldn't be able to erect that law in the first place.
Well, you have to remember, you're talking about a legal system that is based on let's find the exception to the rule. You know, you're not allowed to kill anybody with these exceptions. There are exceptions which make killing another person legal. So it's you're trying to define a complex situation simply. And what the courts tend to do is look at it and say, does this law represent an extraordinary burden on the rights of the person to practice their religion? And if so, then they are allowed to violate it, or they create an exception.
They're allowed to violate it as long as in violating it they don't harm other people.
Right.
Which...
then that just gets right back to the question of if it's okay for those people to use this drug as long as they don't harm others, I don't see how... I understand that the First Amendment has been used to get them that special privilege, but if it's okay for them to have that special privilege... If the concerns of the government about the safety of the population are not relevant, as long as the people doing the activity are not harming others, then that should be the standard, and religion shouldn't even fucking enter into it in the first place.
Well, see, that's the thing. Once you've got a court case like this established, then you can move forward and say, you've made an exception for this case, can we then... begin to maybe change the classification of this drug, etc. There's a lot of things where it would normally be illegal, but we allow people the freedom to choose what they're going to do with their own life, and that includes things like assisted suicide. I mean, that's illegal, but we let the states decide whether or not, you know, how they're going to enforce it, whether or not they're going to make it illegal.
That's okay.
And it's a personal decision. Now, religion doesn't necessarily specifically enter that into that issue, but it's an example of an exception where something is obviously harmful to somebody, but they're allowed to choose on their own because they have freedom.
Sure, like skydiving.
Yeah. Although I think there's a little bit of difference. trying to die when you jump out of the plane.
You're not trying to die when you take some crazy drug either.
But, you know, this drug isn't anything that, you know, there's a high death rate from, or maybe no.
Why is it illegal in the first place? This is the
same
thing.
Same reason LSD is illegal.
Matt, do you agree that being in a religion should give you special exemptions? Are you just saying that is the way it is?
I'm saying that's the way it is.
Well, I recognize that that's the way that's the way that it is, and I think that is appalling. Let's move on.
All right.
Are you done with your your reading?
Yes. Oh, and by the way, since you mentioned skydiving, I heard an amusing thing about that. Skydivers don't knock at death's door. They ring the doorbell and run away. It really pisses death off.
Chester writes, when you give a URL, would you repeat it sometime during your discussion? Thank you for your wonderful letter, Chester.
And to find our answer, you can go to HTTP.
If you log into the chat room, I usually try and actually enter the...
If you're listening live, you can be in the chat room, and Matt generally types in the URLs there for the people in the chat room. And we post those chat logs on our website, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So there's that, but other than that, we will try. And in the interest of attempting to...
But be in the chat room.
Well, yeah, but some people don't listen live.
That's true.
But they can rewind.
Yeah, so why should we repeat it for them?
We'll do what we can to make things
well,
easier.
Well, because
for you.
When they're that this polite,
okay,
and nice about asking the question,
because we're not contractually bound to be dicks.
Yeah. Chester, you raise a good point. Sorry to make a little poke a little fun at you. You raise a good point. We'll try to do that. Rowan writes, not one Muslim took to the streets to protest when the radicals were keeping innocent civilians and chopping off heads. I don't know if that's true.
I don't either.
I doubt it.
It's were there probably, though, Muslims who were complaining and saying that's wrong? Yeah, there probably were. Mm-hmm. That, but when people don't do crimes, when people simply object to crimes that everybody else objects to, that generally doesn't make the news.
Right.
Where were the demonstrators on 9/11 when hundreds of people died while the terrorists were giving Islam a bad name? Now, that I know is definitely not true.
Yes,
there were. I saw those demonstrators. They were out in the streets of Palestine cheering. You mean the anti-attack?
Well,
protesters.
Yeah, and in fact, I had a 2001 memorial speech that I presented for the ACA, where I pointed out that yes, of course, there were lots of Muslims around the world saying we're not associated with these guys, and these guys are bad.
Yeah, they just don't tend to make the news for some reason. People like Robertson and Falwell are on the fucking TV news all the time,
mm-hmm.
But the average mild liberal pastor from your local community church, if you have
there.
One of those, never gets on the news. He's not doing anything fucking crazy.
He's not entertaining.
Well, and
now,
to be fair, there's a little bit of the one no true Scotsman fallacy involved, which is when a Christian or a Muslim does something crazy, you either identify with him or you don't. If you agree with him, then you're obviously not going to be against him. And if you don't agree with him, the tendency is to just say, I'm not that kind of Christian. This guy doesn't
look
like me.
He's not a real Christian.
Right. And that's true in both religions. I'm not saying that they're right, but that's probably how they think.
Yeah. Let me finish Ron's letter. But draw some stupid cartoons lampooning Islam, and everyone's turban comes undone. Again, not all Muslims freaked out. They didn't.
Right.
And there were Muslims who came out. They just didn't get the press coverage. Now, what the percentage is, I don't know. I don't know how to determine that.
And what the motive is behind the press coverage, you can make your own guesses.
Religion of peace, my ass. Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work. Okay, Roan, I basically agree with you that Islam is not a religion of peace.
Right.
But I think when we say things like that, we've got to be clear and accurate about what we say and what we mean. I think it is obvious that if you read the Quran, you can find horrific calls for violence and hatred. Same thing in the Bible. That doesn't mean that every single person who's following the religion subscribes to that, because religion is this big crazy thing where you can have a holy book and still not take big sections of it seriously.
Right.
I don't understand it. People seem to be able to do it. Right?
Yeah.
I still blame those people who subscribe to the holy book without agreeing with those horrific passages, because they're keeping the book holy.
Right.
By being in the fucking religion.
They legitimize it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
but
like
it's not,
saying,
it is not true to say that all Muslims were offended by the cartoons, or that no Muslims spoke out against the kidnapping and chopping off the heads of innocent civilians, or that all Muslims were in favor of the 9/11 attacks. It's just not true. But it's also not terribly relevant.
Right.
The evilness of those religions is what's in the teachings of the book they call holy, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how many of them actually take it that far is just a matter of statistics.
To an atheist, it's sort of like somebody coming up and saying, oh, I'm not that kind of Nazi. You know,
although,
I'm so relieved.
By the way,
I can imagine a gentler Nazism.
Sure.
I can imagine people saying, wearing the armbands and walking around saying, yes, but, you know, we're reformed Nazis, and we, you know, we don't think you should take Mein Kampf literally, and all that. Sure, they could do it, and I'd be against them, mm-hmm. even if they never lifted a finger to harm anyone, because what they are doing is they're promoting a book which clearly is a call
right.
for horrific violence and hatred.
Yeah. Although, did you hear there was also some rioting in London?
Okay, by who? About what?
Apparently a bunch of atheists marched on the Guardian building because they found a blank piece of paper on a desk.
Those jokes are free.
Matt wrote, this is not our Matt, this is another Matt.
He must be right.
I recently became aware of your podcast through a link provided at www.xmormon.org. Chester, are you listening? That's www.xmormon.org. And that's
Mormon.org.
I formally left the Mormon Church last year after months of study that, to any rational observer, proves beyond any doubt that its founder, Joseph Smith, was a complete and utter fraud. Mormon history and the way Mormons rationalize it, at least those who are aware of it, the Mormon Church goes to great lengths to prevent its members from encountering its real history, from scaring members that such information is not true and comes from the devil, to outright alteration of historical events in materials it presents to its members, could provide countless hours of material for your show. In addition, you would have an instant audience of former Mormons should you ever decide to devote an entire show to Mormonism. Anyway, if you're interested in learning more about the Mormon Church for a future show, let me know. I can answer questions and would at least like to post a link to the show on the ex-Mormon web board if you ever do such a show. Yes, Matt.
Cool.
Our Matt now.
We've done a show about Mormons, more than one of them, on the TV show. So if you go to www.atheist-community.org, or atheist-experience.com, you can look through the old archives of that, and that show is also available on podcast. The audio portion is. There's at least one episode on Mormons, if not two, and in the ACA library on the website, David Kent has a write-up. He's an ex-Mormon, and he has a write-up about Mormonism.
Was David on both of those?
He was on the newest one.
And the other one, who did that?
I don't recall. I think it was Ashley, and it would have been a year ago.
Okay.
Because we get preempted once a year, by the way.
Well, again, that's atheist-experience.com.
That's our TV show, also produced by the Atheist Community of Austin. Many of us are on it. Matt over there, our engineer, is the host of the show right now.
And don't spell out hyphen. It's a dash. And don't spell out dash.
Thank you, Mr. LeBay.
You're welcome.
So Matt goes on. Here are some other links that might spark your curiosity. Thanks, Matt. We've also received other links to stories on Mormonism. I don't know if we will ever do an entire Mormon-themed show, but I will try to get to at least one of the links we've been sent each episode. And this morning, I compiled those links we've been sent and emailed it to Russell Glasser here, our producer, asking him to put them up on our website.
We did?
I did send you that, but you haven't checked your email.
This morning. Ah.
Right. So, is that doable?
Sure.
Okay.
But, of course, after South Park has dealt with Mormonism, what is there left?
Joseph Smith was called a prophet. Dum, 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 dum.
Okay. William wrote, the iTunes podcast has not updated since January 14, 2006.
Martin's fault. It's fixed.
Okay. Yeah. William, thank you for the update. We're just sometimes a little behind on that. If we ever cancel the show, we'll try to make a big announcement, either on the last show or on our webpage, so that nobody will have to worry that we've completely gone away. Now, sometimes we go on hiatus for short periods. If we know that we're going on hiatus and it's not just, you know, Matt's in the hospital with a groin injury or something, right? And suddenly we can't have the show, right? If it's a planned hiatus, we'll let you know. If it's a temporary thing where you don't hear from us for a while, relax, don't worry. Have faith if you really want, though I don't recommend it. We will be back.
And I should give Martin credit, because he's the guy who does our podcast, and done a great job resolving a lot of the issues.
Martin may have, that's Martin Wagner.
Hey, Martin.
It may be that he was a little late on this one, but if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have a podcast at all. So, kudos to Martin. William ends, I enjoy your show very much. It is very entertaining and educational. Keep up the good work. We will try. Finally, Susan wrote, I've been listening to your podcasts on my iPod. In the most recent show, you were discussing George Carlton Deutsch III and the NASA public relations relations specialist who recently resigned when it came to light that he did not have a degree as stated on his resume. Well, that was part of the reason that he resigned,
yeah.
Right? He was already embroiled in this thing where he was caught trying to influence.
Alter.
Yeah.
That was the official reason.
I started to wonder, since I advise college students as my profession, what could he possibly be lacking for his degree? And then it dawned on me that he must be lacking his science requirements. Everything about this whole mess now makes sense. Keep up the good work on your show, and it's nice to hear that you are expanding your audience via podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, Point of Inquiry, the Center for Inquiry, had a good discussion on its January 20th show with Eugenie Scott, director of the National Center for Science Education, about the Dover decision. Yes,
she did.
They also, on another episode, which I don't know the exact date, they interviewed Richard Dawkins about his TV show, which I talked about earlier, and which you can see if you go to
YouTube.
Are you listening? www.youtube.com, youtube.com, and do a search for Dawkins Root Evil. They have the first episode. There are multiple episodes in the series. I don't know how many, at least two. They have only the first episode right now. It's divided up into three parts, and it will take you about half an hour to download about 15 minutes worth of show.
Hey, Susan's actually in the chat room.
Is that that Susan? Hello, Susan. We know this Susan.
Yes.
That's our own Susan from the show. And thanks to all of our listeners who wrote in. We can't always answer all of your mail on the air. I did actually have to heavily edit this down this time to make it fit. But we do read every bit of it.
That's better than that one time you spent at least half an hour reading it.
Reading all of it. Well, it was the last time, and I complained, didn't I? And now I've followed through.
Good.
So more news.
More news. Speaking of reasons to be worried about the makeup of the Supreme Court, South Dakota Senate passes abortion ban.
Uh-huh.
Pierre, South Dakota, legislation meant to prompt a national legal battle targeting Roe v. Wade. The 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion was approved Wednesday by the South Dakota Senate, moving the bill a step closer to final passage. The measure, which would ban nearly all abortions in the state, now returns to the House, which passed a different version earlier. The House must decide whether to accept changes made by the Senate, which passed its version 23-12. It is the time for the South Dakota legislature to deal with this issue and protect the lives and rights of unborn children, said Democratic Senator... Democratic, God damn it.
Yeah.
Senator Julie Bartling, the bill's main sponsor.
Uh-huh.
The bill, carrying a penalty of up to 5 years in prison, would make it a felony for doctors or others to perform abortion. Bartling and other supporters noted that the recent appointment of Justices John Roberts and Samuel Alito may make the Supreme Court more likely to consider overturning Roe v. Wade, even though... During the hearings of both of them, they were perpetually badgered to answer questions about whether they think it's established law and whether they believe in stare decisis and stuff like that, and they just stood up there and either wouldn't answer the questions or recited a load of pleasant-sounding BS.
Right.
Now we'll find out if any of that BS actually meant anything, and my bet is it didn't.
So it's there's a 5-year penalty for killing, for murdering an unborn human being by their way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. So are they going to be reducing the murder penalty in South Dakota to 5 years? I'm just looking for consistency here.
Baby steps, man.
Oh, how ironic. Well, I just
one
have some advice. Is this is actually passed in South Dakota now? This is law in South
it's
Dakota?
Gone
it's got
to
be signed
it's gone
yet by
to
the governor,
representatives.
Right? Going to the House of Representatives.
In South Dakota.
But aren't they expecting to pass it?
That's
what I'm hearing. Is
it sounds like they're expecting
like
to pass
it. And the governor has already said he plans on signing it.
No limit to
so, I just have three small pieces of advice for the people of South Dakota. Masturbation. Always fun. Oral sex.
That's a good one.
Can be a great hoot. And anal sex, if you really must.
Sure.
Of all styles, invest in wire hangers.
Also, gay sex doesn't cause
yes, gay sex does not cause any pregnancy at all. So,
wow, here I was just going to advise them to fucking move.
Well, that can be expensive, whereas, you know, a blowjob from your girlfriend is free. Or a blowjob for your girlfriend, let's not forget. This should be mutual. Yeah, that's just terrible. I mean, I don't know what to say about it except jokes. We'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah.
It seems to me
it didn't
the reason
take them long,
why
did it?
That it's no, but on the other hand, I think there are reasons to be potentially hopeful because yeah. those Roberts and the other guy
Alito,
in their hearings did not say they did not admit no, I don't think that abortion should be legal and I plan on ruling against it if it comes up, right?
Yeah.
They didn't say that. Now, why didn't they say that? They did not need the votes of the Democrats in order to get put into office. They didn't.
True.
Right?
Well,
they so what are they afraid of?
There was a filibuster concern.
Yeah, but we saw how well that went. Yeah. And everybody knows these guys are
a bunch
privately
of pussies.
No, I'm talking about the Supreme Court guys. Everybody knows that they are right-wing shills.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was no real fear of the filibuster working. So what were they afraid of? Why would they not come out and just admit it? My guess is, and I keep hearing this, that the Republicans can't afford to criminalize abortion.
Right.
Because they know what a horrific effect that would have on their votes.
Yeah, Jerry Springer was pushing this on his radio show a while back, which is, I think they'll make a good show of putting an anti-abortion candidate up there, but ultimately it would be disastrous for them, because then the abortion laws would revert to the state. And every single local politician would have to actually defend a stance on abortion.
Except
which
for
frankly
South Dakota,
is,
apparently.
Which, frankly, is not held by most people.
Right. So, if there was something to be afraid of when they were trying to get confirmed, it seems to me that that something still exists.
Hmm.
So we'll see. I have some news. This is sort of relevant, too.
Oh, yeah?
Grants to religious groups fall, study says. Despite the Bush administration's rhetorical support for religious charities, the amount of direct federal grants to faith-based organizations declined from 2002 to 2004, according to a major new study released on the 14th. White House officials immediately disputed the findings. They said they will release their own figures next month, showing an increase in federal funding for religious groups.
Yes, once they've had a chance to doctor the figures.
The dispute highlighted a lack of independent, widely accepted data about how many federal tax dollars are going to religious organizations, what they are doing with the money, and whether they are more or less effective than other charities. Some critics of the president's faith-based initiative have long contended that the administration is shifting who gets the money, but not increasing the total amount of federal funding available to shelter the homeless, counsel prisoners, and provide other social services. The study is, quote, a confirmation of the suspicion I've had all along that what the faith-based initiative is really all about is defunding social programs and dumping responsibility for the poor on the charitable sector, said Kay Guinane, director of the nonprofit advocacy program at OMB Watch, a liberal watchdog group in Washington. quote, "It sounds warm and fuzzy, but they've been cutting down the size of the pie all along. And not making the pie higher,"
interesting,
as our president likes to say. The study by the nonpartisan Round Table on Religion and Social Welfare Policy examined 28,000 grants made by 9 federal agencies over 3 years. It found that religious charities got an unchanging share, about 18%, of the money awarded each year. But because the total pie, there's that pie again.
Weird.
This is pie fixation. The total pie of available funding shrank by more than $230 million over the 3 years. The slice that went to the religious groups also declined from $670 million in 2002 to $626 million in 2004. At the same time, the study found that the initiative has succeeded in encouraging more religious groups to apply for funding, and the number receiving grants rose almost 15%. Huh?
Well, there's a silver lining.
Less federal money is being divided into more grants, the study concluded. H. James Towey, director of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, accused the study of bias, saying that it was, quote, "only the latest indication of the roundtable's agenda in opposition to the president's faith-based initiative," unquote. The study did not count grant-making programs that were created after 2002 and ignored such programs as Head Start, which he said was the second largest source of federal funds for religious organizations after the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Section 202 housing program for the elderly poor. Quote, "They have picked rotten cherries and come up with a rotten pie." There's that fucking pie again! What is with this pie? You know, it is possible to make charts that aren't pies. It really is.
It's true.
They're entirely functional charts that are things other than pies.
I'm in a data mining class now, so I know all about that.
Yeah? What kind of other shape could they refer to? Just sort of break up this repetitive references to pies.
You could have bar graphs. Bar graphs! Histograms.
Now, but you can make the bar graph higher.
That's true. You cannot make the pie make a bar higher. Graph higher. You can have XY plots. Lots of things.
They took a very small sample of programs and grants and are drawing conclusions that are completely inaccurate. Unquote.
Wow.
Who is this guy with the British accent?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what his accent is. I just did that one. Towey said the White House has been collecting growing amounts of data on grants each year, beginning with 2 federal agencies in 2002, 5 in 2003, 7 in 2004, and 10 in 2005. When it issues its report for 2005 in March, he said, "We'll look at 25,000 grants in just 1 year, and we'll show that there's been an increase every year in the category of competitive non-formula grants for social services."
You know what the increase is?
What?
3.14%.
More pie! How do you know it's that there's an increase and it's that amount?
That was a joke. He just said there was an increase. I was
pie. You see, pie.
Yes.
It's much more funny when you have to
certainly. Certainly more pie. Yes. More pie for the pie-eating masses.
Quite. Let them eat pie.
Several independent researchers who were not involved in the study defended the roundtable. Candy S. Hill, Senior Vice President for Social Services at Catholic Charities USA, said the study's findings fit with her experience. "It doesn't surprise me, because overall, funding for most social service programs is shrinking," she said. "We're grateful..."
All these Shakespearean actors in all these social service positions. It's just bizarre.
Stop fucking interrupting me.
No.
"We're grateful there's a recognition by the administration of the wonderful work that faith-based groups do, but we continue to be concerned about the levels of funding."
So what it comes down to is they're being accused of actually not violating the First Amendment as badly as they were before.
Right.
And they're lying to convince us that they are.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they have the Queen to do it.
No, the Queen sounds much older. We can.
Stanley Carlton Pease.
Oh, no.
Stanley Carlton Pease, Director of Social Policy Studies at the Center for Public Justice, an evangelical Protestant think tank.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Now, there's an irony.
There's
an evangelical think tank.
Oh, no.
In Annapolis said, the study gives the lie to alarmists who think the administration is funneling vast sums to churches. Now, wait a minute. Can't these right-wingers get their story straight? The Bush administration is insisting this study is wrong. We are, in fact, giving vast sums, increasing sums, to the religious sector.
Right.
But this guy is saying, it gives the lie to alarmists who think the administration is funneling vast sums to churches. They can't get their fucking story straight.
Churches? How preposterous. What poppycock.
Which is it, though? Are you giving more, or are you proving that you're not giving more?
It depends who you're talking to, and if you're talking to two different people in the same article, well, it looks like a contradiction.
But you may not be able to tell you're talking to two different people in the same article, because they have the same accent. Look at the huge percentage of money that continues to go to sectional organizations.
Oh, damn them!
Lord Carlton Thieves, who formerly worked in the White House faith-based office, the image that there's this Bush push that's going to turn the government into a religious apparatus, if people think that's what's happening, they're wrong. Unquote.
Right you are, Governor.
But that guy deserved the accent, because he's got the two-part last name.
Yeah, he's got that great name.
Sir Stanley Carlton Thieves.
Anything that ends in ton, I think, is fair game for an accent.
Dennis, do you have another
another
news?
So
do we
want
to talk about this some more? Other than, I mean, I just think it's
I think you should have plenty of chance to use accents in the story about Fred Phelps and the bikers.
Oh, I have some semi-good news.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes?
On Monday, I signed a contract and shifted from a long-time temporary to a permanent employee, and started going over the benefits package, and while I won't give out details of my employer, I was pleased to see that not only do they have full benefits for all domestic partners, regardless of sexual orientation, but they also do a matching gift up to $1,500 to any nonprofit, and allow two extra paid days off to participate in activities of nonprofit organizations.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. And you won't tell us what company this is?
No.
Even though they probably love the publicity.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
they necessarily love it. they're pretty good. They're not that good.
Yeah. Oh, well, here's an amusing little anecdote.
Here we go. Do a different accent.
The boycott backfires. South Park gets record audience. An appeal from the Catholic Church for New Zealanders to boycott an episode of South Park has resulted in a record audience there for controversial cartoon.
That's great. That's great news, Bruce.
Right you are. From February...
Bruce, what do you think about that news?
Oh, I think it's bloody brilliant.
Why, Cracky, he's right. Put another shrimp on the barbie, all right. The Bloody Mary episode of South Park drew more than six times the normal audience from New Zealand broadcast TV. Six times! The episode, which aired Wednesday night, was seen by 210,000 viewers, according to Rick Pearson, the broadcaster's chief operating officer.
A lot of Bruce's and Sheila's watching that episode of South Park.
I expected a bit of a rise, but not that much, said the Associated. He told the Associated Press. In the last month, he said, an average South Park episode typically draws about 32,500 viewers.
So South Park's getting good ratings, and
Why did they try to
get people not to watch this one?
Was
it making fun of Australia?
No. The protest centered on a statue of the Virgin Mary with participants.
One.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. When is this news story from?
They don't get programs on along the same timeline as we
because
New Zealand, man.
Oh, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Are we doing the right accent for New Zealand?
It's not right. Well, it's
pretty close, actually.
Close to Australia.
But I have an actual serious question. I want to know the date of this because I am aware of a South Park episode prominently featuring a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Yes, it's that episode.
Magically bleeding out of her ass.
Yes, that is the episode.
That is the episode.
Which aired once in the United States.
Right.
And now is not airing again.
Right.
But you can find it on the internet. But I don't know the URL.
Thursday, 23rd February.
That was also the Alcoholics Anonymous episode, wasn't it?
Well, yes.
Foreign countries get our programs later, sometimes a season or two later.
So even though they won't show it in the U.S., they'll go ahead and ship it overseas.
Oh, sure.
Sure. And it works the same way because they've been producing new Doctor Who episodes and for the BBC all this past year, and Doctor Who is coming to Sci-Fi in March.
I may have to get cable.
Right, but six times the audience is pretty good.
That is a good increase in viewership, Bruce.
Right now, a lot of companies that like that kind of boycott. Yeah.
Thank you for reading the news there, Bruce. Bruce, have you got any more news?
I have some news.
Okay, go ahead.
We now return you to the United States.
A Senate committee voted Wednesday to let university and community college students opt out of required reading assignments that they personally find offensive or pornographic.
Ooh, yeah? Whoa.
But lawmakers are having trouble figuring out how broad to make that exception. The legislation stems from complaints by Christina Kraftsker.
Somebody get a bucket.
Who attended community colleges and Arizona State University. She said...
Can I just stop you for a second? Which accent are you doing here? Is this German?
Shooting for German.
Is this German?
Maybe a little bit of Austrian creeping in.
All right. Really? I couldn't tell the difference. I don't actually know the difference.
And now that
Austrian.
The show is, podcast internationally, I'm sure we'll be getting
reviews on
our accents.
I just want all those people overseas who might be offended by the accents we're doing to realize the vast majority of our show is done in an extremely silly American accent.
Yes.
I would hope that most of them know that we're just a bunch of stupid Americans and they really don't care that much anyway.
Yeah, right. Anyway, she said some required reading, and in case you didn't catch any of that story
because we couldn't understand you.
The a Senate committee voted on Wednesday to let students in college opt out of having to read things that offend them.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's freaking nuts.
That's the student, Christina Tresker, said some required reading by instructors is morally unacceptable to some. A lot of students are being forced to choose between their personal or religious beliefs and the demands of education, she told members of the Senate Committee on Higher Education on Wednesday. One specific complaint was aimed at The Ice Storm, a novel dealing with adults and children experimenting with sex, drugs, and suicide. Tresker described it as a pretty sexually graphic book.
Don't experiment with suicide. I think that's unwise.
Yes. Yeah, make sure you know how to do it right.
I think
I think either do it or don't do it. Right.
I think my answer to the whole thing is tough shit. You're there to get an education. You shouldn't be allowed to voluntarily blind yourself to what you're supposed to be there to learn.
Well, right. You should be allowed. You just don't have to pass your class.
Yeah, well, all right.
But don't
take those classes if you don't like it.
A book that's about sex, drugs, and suicide is supposed to be offensive in some way. I mean, it's supposed to be disturbing. I mean, it's not like The Ice Storm is necessarily, and I don't know the book, but is it necessarily promoting sex, drugs,
what,
and
what
suicide?
What did you guys have to read in school that you found disturbing?
The Bible.
You had to read the Bible in school?
No, well, not in public school, but...
Oh.
No, I was making a joke. Obviously, it wasn't offensive to me at the time.
For me,
nothing I found.
Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies creeped the shit out of me.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
And I had to read that.
But see, I
but I'm glad I read it. I mean, I got an appreciation for stuff that creeped me out. Sorry.
Right. And And I wonder about people's religion. Do you automatically go to hell if you read something that mentions sex?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, isn't God going to understand?
I mean, the Bible mentions sex. Come on.
And the Bible is pretty disturbing in many places. Isn't God going to understand, you know, I had to read this for a class, and it didn't make me experiment with drugs and suicide.
Well, I think what we're dealing with here is this crazy attitude that somehow if you write about or if you write about something, you are promoting that thing. And then if you read the thing that somebody else wrote, you're also promoting it or condoning it. But no, it is necessary to write about bad things in order that we can get a grasp of what they are and make good decisions about them.
And from the Christian perspective, isn't it just, you know, you're being tested then?
Yeah, I find pedophilia offensive, so let's just ignore those priests.
I think, sadly, that is a lot of the... A lot of the attitude.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like...
Well,
reading bad stuff is character building.
One of my favorite examples... One of my favorite examples of people who wanted to ban Harry Potter, and I read what their objections were, and they quoted a passage out of the first book where a character says, there is no right and wrong, there is only power. And they said, see what Harry Potter promotes? When they were quoting the bad guy!
Right.
Ugh.
And the book is all about... the
fighting
characters
the bad
reacting to that and trying to stop that attitude from prospering.
Right, and that's extremely tame. I mean...
Yeah. It's just crazy.
I had to deal with this as a kid growing up. My parents had the attitude, particularly my mom, because that's where I got these kinds of prohibitions from. My dad didn't usually make these. He wasn't the one who uttered the rules. But she had this crazy attitude that I never understood and still can't understand now, that if... You know, if you watch a murder mystery, somehow you're going to become more interested in committing murders. That is just totally not it. That's utterly missing the point.
Yeah, maybe
I might become interested. The hero is the guy who's investigating the murder and trying to bring the murderer to justice. Why on earth would I see this and go, I see where he went wrong, but my murder plan would be perfect! I mean, I guess there probably are people that react that way. But if they're going to react that way, it's not going to be because of what they saw. It's going to be because there's something chemically wrong in their brain.
Yeah, seriously wrong, yes.
But I think that's what this is. It's like, I won't read that book because about things that I don't think people should even think about, and if you make me read it, that's just promoting the sales of that person's book who promotes these things. That's got to be it.
Senator Harry Mitchell from Arizona is with us. He said he fears the measure will let students shield themselves from foreign ideas, which I think is the whole point.
Oh, it'll let them shield themselves from hard ideas, you know?
The purpose of education is exposure to new ideas, to new ways of thinking, he said. Mitchell said, by the time students reach college, their views should be firm enough to withstand alternative ideas.
Yeah. The length of Moby Dick is offensive to me.
He can say that, but of course...
Sorry.
There she blows!
I was talking about the length of the book, but you can interpret that any way you like.
I wonder if college professors will ever expose their students to this show.
You know,
we can only hope.
It's this Representative Mitchell? Senator Mitchell?
Senator Harry Mitchell.
Senator Mitchell can say that by the time you get to college, your views should be immune to other ideas.
Right.
Except that if your views happen to be a ridiculous fucking house of cards,
if you cannot survive,
Christianity cannot frickin' survive scrutiny. It can't.
Yeah, his position's kind of, you know, we know that it's not necessarily the case because the biggest complaint is that kids go off to college, become educated, and abandon their religious beliefs. It's just,
so while I appreciate him standing against this plan, I think that what he's saying is silly.
That's true.
But on the other hand, what he ought to be saying, what everybody ought to be saying, is, look, the point of college is to engage in a battle of ideas and try to come out of it with the ideas, with whatever set of ideas stands up the best to challenge.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
My thing is you know,
and whatever that is, whether it's the ones you came in with or not.
Yeah, the whole idea that anybody values and opinions should ever be so set as to be safe from investigation,
right,
is just false.
That's
yeah,
hideous.
That's equally.
That's what dogmatic.
His first sentence is, "It's they're going to use it to shield themselves from opposing views." What is he saying?
Because
if you're so set in your own ways that your views are immune to encounters with opposing ideas, then you're already shielded from those opposing ideas.
Well, what
difference
what he
does
said,
it make whether you do it internally
actually,
or externally?
Actually, what he says is, by the time students reach college, their views should be firm enough to withstand alternative ideas.
Well,
and I think the unspoken ending of that is, if they're any good.
Well, okay.
Fair enough. That's not necessarily
all right
what he says, but there are charitable ways to interpret that.
He mostly agrees with me, so I'll let him off the hook.
Yeah. I think part of our purpose here in this show is to try to get some memes going out there that are a little bit more potent.
And
wishy-washy kind of, you know, I'm going to oppose this, but I'm going to do it in a way that sounds like I'm pandering to the people who want to continue believing crap. That's
true.
Potent.
And I think the meme that one should take out of this story is, if your ideas are so fragile that they can't stand up to reading other ideas, then maybe they're not so good anyway.
Right. Exactly. Rats understand cause and effect.
Cool.
Rats may understand cause and effect contrary to widespread belief among scientists, a study has found. It's well known that animals can quickly learn that events are connected in some way. They can learn, for instance, that one event usually follows another. But creatures aren't generally thought to reason that the second event could happen because of the first. But that assumption may be wrong, according to the researchers who conducted this study. The scientists, Alan Blaisdell of the University of California, Los Angeles, and his colleagues, repeatedly showed rats a light followed by a tone. Then, if the tone was played alone, the rats started to behave as though the light must also have gone on. But when rats produced the tone themselves, by pressing a lever, they didn't act as though the light must have flashed, the researchers reported. The rat's reasoning was like our ability to understand that it hasn't just rained when we see a wet lawn we just watered with a hose. The scientists said they could ascertain rats' reasoning processes to some extent because when the light flashed, the rats were also given some food along with the sound. The rats learned to start looking for food after the light was flashed, but they didn't do this as much when they themselves had set off the tone. Quote, a number of researchers have recently concluded that causal reasoning is a faculty that divides humans from animals. They wrote in the February 17 issue of the research journal Science, where they reported their findings. The present results cast doubt on that conclusion. The rats might not understand the detailed physical mechanisms underlying cause and effect, Blaisdell and his colleagues added. Nonetheless, they argued, the rodents show a key component of causal reasoning. They grasp the relationship between seeing and doing and how these influence effects differently.
Cool.
So rats maybe can understand cause and effect, and Christians fucking can't.
Right. Well, they have their own definitions for cause and effect. Here's my story. Slothful pastor. Remember the story of the woman who cut her baby's arms off? Crazy one here in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the minister of a Plano woman accused of killing her daughter by severing her arms at the shoulders testified today that he does not believe in mental illness and that those problems are caused by demons.
Reassuring.
Yes.
Obviously, she had good advice from her parishioners.
I don't view mental problems, all mental problems, I'm convinced, is caused by demons, he said. I do not believe that any mental illness exists.
He said all mental problems is caused by demons? That is how they quote him?
That's how they quote him. I do not believe that any mental illness exists that is not manifestation.
That's my forehead hitting the microphone.
Of demonic activity, said the minister.
Holy crap.
People listen to this, dickwad. Of the Water of Life Church in Plano, yes.
And we didn't get an accent for this guy? All mental problems is caused by demons.
So called by demons.
That's right, Cletus.
Boy. Oh, my goodness. Well.
The defense asked Mr. Davidson about his teachings, which talk about a Jezebel spirit in women, that women must submit to their husbands, and that he can cast the devil in spirits out of people.
Hmm. Well, you apparently can't, can you? Because you believe there was a demon in this woman, and you didn't stop the demon before it made her cut her baby's arms off and kill her.
Put him in a chair.
Who?
The preacher. Put the preacher in
a
chair.
Heck yeah.
He could have stopped this, he claims, and didn't. Obviously,
no,
he's
not
guilty.
Just incompetent. He's just religiously, he's theologically incompetent, man. We don't kill people for that.
We should.
He should be kicked out by the church, though, right? If he's in a church that believes that exact same thing, he clearly failed. He doesn't have the basic qualifications to be a minister in his church. The demon ejecting qualification.
I think he lacks the
Does he have demon ejecting on his resume
His
theological seminary that he attended, or
we
is that
have
a lie?
To find out if that's actually
like that guy at NASA,
based completely on his quotes. I'm pretty sure he lacks the qualification for any job other than the one he's doing.
Let's just say he lacks the qualifications to successfully pick his nose, much less get rid of demons.
Right.
He could get a job selling brushes. Ma'am, these brushes is the best brushes they is. No, thank you.
Now, remember that story we had last time of the guy who wouldn't give his... blood sample thing?
Yes.
There's another weird little thing here. A convicted sex offender in southern Iowa with ties to Doomsday Commune has refused to wear an electronic monitor, saying the device conflicts with his religious beliefs.
See? Now this is what I'm talking about. Matt, come on, man. Did you hear the story? Hear what Dennis just said?
I was reading the chat room.
Read it again.
Okay. A convicted sex offender in southern Iowa with ties to a doomsday commune has refused to wear an electronic monitor, saying the device conflicts with his religious beliefs.
This is why this kind of crap has to be stopped.
Well, the thing is that he couldn't make a... I don't believe he could possibly make a showing that it does conflict with his religious beliefs.
Sure, man. Whereas, Doomsday cult, they believe in the mark of the beast. Let me just guess.
Dennis hasn't
read the rest of the story yet, but let me just guess. They believe there's a mark of the beast, and they believe that it's electronic tracking kind of stuff, and he doesn't want the mark of the beast put on him. Bet you anything.
Mm-hmm. A hearing Thursday in Decatur County will determine whether Scott Smith, 36, will go to prison over his refusal to wear the monitor as ordered under a statewide effort to track the movements of sex offenders who committed crimes against children.
Uh-huh.
Then let's put the monitor on somebody else and just handcuff him to that person.
Yes. Smith of David City has been a member of the Brotherhood of Christ Church, whose believers once claimed the Soviet Union would unleash a weapon to wipe out the Kansas City...
Montana
area, and everything else within
Missouri.
50 miles. Missouri.
Sorry.
And everything else within 50 miles.
No, is that right?
I think MO is Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Soviets are very concerned about Kansas City, Missouri.
Great. Man.
I have relatives in Kansas City.
But this is why this shit has to stop.
Anybody
can make up any fucking religion they want.
I agree.
Religions are all made up. And so to exclude people from the rule of law because they make up a religion that just conveniently stands in the way of the law being exercised over them is just bullshit.
There are a lot
total
of these
bullshit.
There are a lot of these cases every single year, and most of them are completely tossed out.
the courts are pretty good about saying, you know what, this is a reasonable claim. And this is something that only affects them. It doesn't affect
anybody
else.
Name me a single one of these that's a reasonable claim.
I think the drinking of the hallucinogenic tea.
How is that reasonable?
What possible objection could anybody have to somebody else drinking a hallucinogen?
If that's true, it shouldn't be against the law in the first place, and you don't need
invoke
the First Amendment.
I agree, but what they're claiming is that their grounds under the law is reasonable, and from there you can go towards making it legal. Now, I think plenty of people would have a legitimate objection to a criminal avoiding his tracking system
put him in prison.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, okay, you don't have to wear the bracelet. We'll just lock your ass
up. Yeah, right. Put you in solitary.
Got like 4 minutes.
Bracelet or solitary, it's your choice.
All right, 4 minutes. Do you have a quick one?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
It's about our best buddy, Fred Phelps.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Fred Phelps, as you know, is notorious protesting people's funerals. So now there's a bigger, louder group that protests Fred Phelps protesting people's funerals.
That's not helpful.
In a way, I think it is. It's a gang of bikers. Wearing vests covered in military patches, a band of motorcyclists rolls around the country from one soldier's funeral to another, cheering respectfully to overshadow jeers from church protesters. They call themselves the Patriot Guard Riders, and they are more than 5,000 strong, forming to counter anti-gay protests held by the Reverend Fred Phelps at military funerals. Phelps believes American deaths in Iraq are divine punishment for a country that he says harbors homosexuals. His protesters carry signs thanking God for so-called IEDs, explosives that are a major killer of soldiers in Iraq. The bikers shield the families of dead soldiers from the protesters and overshadow the jeers with patriotic chants and a sea of red, white, and blue flags. The most important thing we can do is let families know that the nation cares, said Don Woodrick, the group's Kentucky captain. When a total stranger gets on a motorcycle in the middle of winter and drives 300 miles to hold a flag, that makes a powerful statement. At least 14 states are considering laws aimed at the funeral protesters, which I believe means Phelps and Company. Who at a recent memorial service at Fort Campbell wrapped themselves in upside-down American flags. They danced and sang impromptu songs peppered with vulgarities that condemned homosexuals and soldiers. Now, what I love about this story is I can just see Fred Phelps getting purple in the face because he's not being heard and going, but they're imposing on my free speech. They shouldn't be allowed to do this.
But Fred Phelps doesn't care about being heard
right,
like that.
He just wants to get punched by one of the bikers.
Yes, and that's my concern, is that these bikers are likely to take a swing at him, which is just giving him opportunities to sue them and make more money.
Than that. We'll see.
Not the way I gave him the act.
Well, no.
do we have time left? 2 minutes? 30 seconds? Crap.
Sorry.
Well, I promised that I was going to do a Mormon story today, but I will try to get to it next episode because we ran out of time. There was just a lot of news today. Okay, everybody, thanks for stopping by. We will be back in 2 weeks. We will leave you with the White Stripes again. Or a different song we will leave you with, but I don't know what it is. Goodbye. See you in 2 weeks.
Little ghost, what I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you. And it's not your time to meet the Lord above. Every morning I woke, I see my little ghost, wondering if it's big or it's lying there. I'm in your touch, and I whisper, but not brave enough.